Good morning, brothers and sisters. Father, we bless your name. We bless your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We bless your Holy Spirit, who illuminates the pages of Scripture. And as we pause to hear from you, our desire is that you'll be with preacher and hearers alike. We pray that the saints of God will be fortified in their most holy faith, and that sinners will be convicted and converted. That's our prayer, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. As we journey through John's Gospel, we are at John chapter 1, 19 through to 28, and I invite you to turn to that portion of Scripture. My topic is, will you be a voice in the wilderness? John 19 to 28. Now this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? And he answered, no. Then they said to him, who are you, that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. Now those who were sent were from the Pharisees, and they asked him, saying, why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. And if you put your finger on Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, I'm going to read a few verses there as well. John, from verse 4, John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Then all the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem went out to him and were all baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. Now, you know, let's say preacher is supposed to have 3 points. This morning I've come armed with 2. You love me for that? Well, I might as well. I can introduce a third one if you don't love me for that. You know. I want to talk about the character of the faithful witness. And then I'm going to talk about the character of the faithless people. The character of the faithful witness, and then the character of the faithless people. So let's start with the character of the faithful witness. Now, prior to the coming of John the Baptist, the nation of Israel had experienced 400 years without a prophetic voice. These years are often described as the 400 silent years. Anybody ever heard about the 400 silent years? Praise the Lord, a few have. All right, these were essentially the years between Malachi and Matthew. And so John the Baptist is a kind of bridge between Malachi and Matthew. John the Baptist is regarded as the last of the Old Testament prophets and the first of the New Testament prophets. Jesus had a very high opinion of John the Baptist. Listen to Jesus, Matthew 11, verse 11. I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. What Jesus was in effect saying is that up until that time, John the Baptist was the greatest man who ever lived. Imagine that Jesus was saying that as great as Abraham was, Abraham was not greater than John the Baptist. As great as Moses was, Moses was not greater than John the Baptist. As great as Elijah was not greater than John the Baptist. And as great as David was not greater than John the Baptist. I find this to be somewhat amazing. John the Baptist was not a great leader. He did not work in the corridors of power. He did not have any great contacts. He did not attend the Jerusalem Kiwanis Club or Rotary Club. He wasn't on the Jerusalem cocktail circuit. He did not move with the rich and the famous. He did not fight any battles. He did not establish any institution. He lived relatively detached from the wider society. He had no political background. He had no wealth. And it seems that the first 30 years of his life were indeed spent in the Judean wilderness. Yet the Lord Jesus says that among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. So what was the character of this faithful witness that we call John the Baptist? I would like to suggest that it was humility. Humility. John the Baptist was a humble witness testifying concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And if that is said of us, our lives would have been well spent. That we are humble witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. If that's all that people can say about you, your life would have been well spent. So he was a humble witness. John sought no honors. He sought no money. He sought no accolades. He had no titles. He had no ratings, certainly not from the Pharisees. He lived simply. Look at Matthew 3, verse 4. And John himself was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist. And his food was locusts and wild honey. John the Baptist was not one of those who would make it into the latest men's fashion magazine. And he certainly couldn't be the cover story. Elder Lindley could be the cover story for a men's fashion magazine, but not John the Baptist. He had nothing and he didn't want anything but to be a voice for the Lord. Isn't that awesome? That was his mission statement. That was his job description. All John the Baptist desired was to be a voice for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he says in verse 23, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. That was all John the Baptist, the greatest follower of Christ that had ever lived, was about. He just wanted to be the voice of the Lord. He wanted to be a voice for the Lord. The year 2022 is still young. We're still in March, though the year kind of galloping like crazy. But we're still in March. The year is still young. And some of you, I imagine, would have made certain resolutions of things you want to get done in 2022, like get more money, step up in your profession, building the business. And nothing is wrong with those goals. Nothing is wrong with those aspirations. But can you be like John the Baptist in 2022? To be a voice for the Lord? To be a voice for the Lord Jesus Christ who saved you from your sin? John the Baptist was announcing to his hearers that Jesus, the promised Messiah, is here. The one whose coming had been anticipated for centuries was about to inaugurate his public ministry. So much so that in the next chapter, Jesus shows up and John baptizes Jesus. So John the Baptist's job description was to be a voice to cry out, to say to everyone, Make ready your heart to receive the King. Make ready in your heart to receive the Savior. Can we be a voice among the believers here in this sanctuary and online to be a voice for Jesus in the workplace, in the home, in the community, to say to all and sundry, make ready your heart, your life, to receive King Jesus? Can you be that voice? Can you be the voice that says Jesus is coming again, as promised by the scriptures? Indeed, he's on his way. Make your heart ready. Make the path smooth to your heart so that Jesus can gain entrance. Can you be a voice to point out to people that the scriptures are being fulfilled every day? We see famines, pestilences. What do you think COVID-19 is? A pestilence. Wars and rumors of wars. War going on in the Ukraine and Russia, and there's talk about China invading Taiwan. Rumor, wars and rumors of war staring us in the face. Brethren, we are closer than we ever were to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Kingdoms rising against kingdoms. Nations rising against nation. This is a time when we must heed Amos's prophetic call. Prepare to meet thy God. So John the Baptist was in effect saying, I am just doing mere water baptism here. But there's one that you need to look at who is already among you, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit of God. John was saying that Jesus cleanses not by a mere ritual of water baptism, but instead Jesus baptizes with the Holy Spirit. In that way, real change comes to a person. In that way, real change comes to a person from the inside out. A lot of people promoting change and transformation, they're working from the outside in, and it never works. If real change begins on the inside out, and that's what the Holy Spirit does. He comes and he takes possession of your life, and he transforms your appetites, he transforms your values, he transforms your will, so that what is inside begins to have a reflection on the outside. That's how the Holy Spirit works. The Holy Spirit brings real cleansing to the soul from the inside out. It brings sanctification to a person from the inside out. The Holy Spirit brings transformation to a person from the inside out. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He cleanses us of our sins, transforms us, sets us apart from the world, and sets us apart unto Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit cleans us up, purifies us, makes us fit for heaven, and at the same time, he empowers us for everyday Christian living. John the Baptist declares that Jesus baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And thank God, Jesus is still in the business of baptizing with the Holy Spirit. This happens at the very moment of conversion. Today, the invitation is open to anybody who is not a Christian to let Jesus baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And even if you are already a Christian, for you to submit more and more and more to the Holy Spirit so that Jesus can work and shape and fashion you more and more into his image and likeness. So my Christian brother and sister, can you, like John the Baptist, resolve to bear witness concerning Jesus in 2022? Can you, like John the Baptist, resolve to give testimony concerning Jesus? Can you, like John the Baptist, say, he must increase and I must decrease? You know, the truth is that so often it is all about us when it should be all about him. Too often it is all about us when it should be all about him. John the Baptist is such a great character in the Bible. He recognized his place in God's scheme of things. The truth is, he lost himself in his message. John the Baptist was the most popular preacher in his time, yet he said in verses 26 and 27, I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. As some of you may know, in ancient Israel, the roads were hot and dusty, so feet were often dirty. The disciples of rabbis were required to perform all kinds of menial service for their rabbis, but they were not required to clean the feet of their rabbis. They would not untie the strap of their rabbis. Why? Because that was work reserved for the lowest of the slaves. The lowest rung of slaves would do that. The slave would take his master's sandals and would thereafter wash his master's feet. John the Baptist was saying that not only was it not beneath him to perform such a menial task for Jesus, but indeed it was above him. He, John, was not worthy to even do that. So great is the glory of Christ. John the Baptist was saying that even the most menial service to Jesus was a privilege greater than he deserved. He was overwhelmed with the privilege of doing anything for Jesus Christ. Is that you? Is that your testimony? That you're so glad to do anything for the Lord, you just gladly do it. You know, sometimes when we want to find people to do this ministry or that ministry, it's like we're pulling teeth. It's like we have to beg and plead and cajole and to get people to do the work of the ministry. But that's not how John was functioning. John thought nothing too low when it came to Jesus. John was prepared to do the most menial of tasks, the task that even slaves did, for the sake of Jesus Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ. John is saying, I'm so low. I am lower than the lowest slave. I'm not even up as high as a foot washing slave. That's how low I am. One of the commentaries that I read in preparation for this morning is written by a man named Richard Phillips. This is what he says about this passage. Do you count it an awesome privilege to serve Jesus in any capacity? Instead of begrudging your duties as a Christian, and especially any actual sacrifice you may be called to make, are you overwhelmed at the privilege of simply serving such a glorious Lord? If you are not, your witness will lack power. If you're doing the Lord's work and you're not thrilled and excited to do the Lord's work, those who you're ministering to won't pick it up. You can't fool people. They have a sense of discernment that you're just doing this out of the motions. You're just doing this as a ritual, but you don't really sense no great privilege to do the Lord's work. Mr. Phillips continues, but if you convey to people what a thrill it is to know and serve the Lord Jesus, your witness will be that much more effective. Far from decrying the fact that he might have to perform menial service on Jesus' behalf, John was overwhelmed with the privilege of giving even the lowliest witness to so great a Lord as the Lord Jesus Christ, God's true Son and the Messiah. End of quote. So John was a humble witness of Jesus Christ. But let me push the point a little further. John was a humble witness in the wilderness. John was a humble witness in the wilderness. It is instructive where John functioned as the voice of the Lord. It was in the wilderness. God is looking for humble people to be a voice in the wilderness land of Jamaica. John was a voice in a physical, geographical wilderness, yes. But John was even more so a voice to those in a spiritual wilderness. In this spiritual wilderness, people are looking for love in the wrong places. In this spiritual wilderness, people are looking for God in the wrong places. In this spiritual wilderness, people are doing bad and calling it good, and people doing good and calling it bad. I want to suggest to you that a wilderness represents a crossroad in life. It is in traveling through a wilderness where you are most vulnerable to a number of things. You are vulnerable to robbers and thieves, to wild animals. A wilderness is anything but a comfort zone. The wilderness is where the difficulties of life come at you with full force. The wilderness is where the difficulties of life threaten to mash you up. And yet, it is in the wilderness where John proclaims a message of hope. In the wilderness, John speaks the message of the Lord, and he says, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." So your circumstances can't be so hard, can't be so rough that you can't tell people about Jesus. Your circumstances can't be so difficult, can't be so overwhelming that you can't take the time to tell people, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." In verse 23, John the Baptist says, "Make straight the way of the Lord." John was saying, create a highway in your heart for the Lord. And John was actually quoting Isaiah 40, verses 3 to 4, which was read earlier, where it says, "Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth." In Bible days, as is the case today, whenever royalty was going to travel on the road, preparation was made to ensure that the roads were smooth. I have noticed that the times when Queen Elizabeth visit Jamaica, no matter how broke the government said them is, them find money for fix pothole. By the way, Prince William and Kate coming to Jamaica any day now. Invite them to your road. I'll see if the government will fix it. Right? Anywhere the money for come from, them find it. Them smooth out the road. Make straight. Make it smooth. This entrance for royalty. But John the Baptist, in quoting Isaiah, was urging the listeners to humble themselves and remove all the obstacles so that King Jesus could come into their hearts and lives. And that instruction is still valid today. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Whatever it is that is stopping you from fully and fulsomely serving the Lord, get rid of it. And especially to those who are not Christians, whatever it is, that boyfriend, that girlfriend, that job, whatever it is that's stopping you from serving Jesus and surrendering your life to Jesus, get rid of it. Make straight the way of the Lord. That's part of the gospel message. The gospel message calls on sinners and saints alike to humble themselves before the Lord and let the Lord have his way in our hearts and in our lives. The gospel message calls on saints and sinners alike to remove obstacles that are blocking Jesus' access to our heart and lives. The gospel message calls upon all of us to prepare the way of the Lord by repenting of our sins and living a holy life with Christ as our greatest treasure. So John the Baptist was crying out in the desert, and there was a kind of urgency in his crying out. There was a desperation in his crying out. John wants people to be ready when the Messiah comes. The people were living in anticipation of a political Messiah, but the passage tells us that John humbles himself and he elevates Jesus. And we should do that. We should humble ourselves and elevate Jesus. I was here a few years ago for a memorial service for the late Dr. Zenas Gehrig. Dr. Zenas Gehrig, for those of you who don't know, was an American missionary who served in Jamaica for about 40 years or so. And on his watch, he founded the Jamaica Theological Seminary and the Caribbean Graduate School. Dr. Gehrig was not known to be a person who speak Patois, but he understood it. And at the memorial service, his son told a story that showed that he did indeed really understand and appreciate Patois. He said that Gehrig would say to a few people, "Small up yourself and big up Jesus." That's what John the Baptist did. He must increase, I must decrease. Small up yourself and big up Jesus. With the help, when the disciples of the Pharisees came to John the Baptist, he deflected attention from himself and he placed it on Jesus. I have a problem with a lot of what passes as Christian TV these days, because a lot of the preachers that I see, them bigging up themselves and smalling up Jesus. But you don't need to share my conviction. But as Christians, our task in this wilderness that we are in of sin and suffering is to humble ourselves, small up ourselves, and elevate Jesus and big up Jesus. John said to them, "He, John, is not the Messiah. He, John, is not Elijah. He, John, is not David. He's just a voice crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare ye the way of the Lord.'" John's gospel begins by mentioning that Jesus is the Word, the living Word. You remember how John's gospel begins? "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And if you go down to John 1 verse 14, it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." We remember that John's gospel calls Jesus the Word. The passage we are looking at this morning tells us that John the Baptist is the voice of one crying out in the wilderness. Can I suggest to you, a voice is the vehicle by which a word is made known. A voice is the vehicle by which a word is made known. We are instruments by which the living Word will be made known. We are the voices by which the living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, will be proclaimed. If you are going to be a voice, be a good voice. Cry out with urgency to get people to prepare the way of the Lord. Cry out with desperation to get people to be ready to meet the Messiah. Don't whisper it, shout it, for the times are urgent and the need for repentance is urgent. That's a good place to say amen, by the way. So we looked at the character of the faithful witness. We're going to look now at the character of a faithless people. Verse 19. "Now this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who are you?'" When you're reading John's gospel, you'll see the expression "the Jews" used many times. Somebody who has taken the time to count say it is 70 times that expression occurs in the gospel of John. It is never used in the sense of ethnic Jews or racial Jews. Rather, the term is used to identify those who are the enemies of Jesus. It is John's choice term. You don't find it in the other Gospels. John the Baptist had to encounter certain people who, no matter what evidence he produced, they would not believe. No matter what testimony he gave, they would not believe. You know, there are some people like that. No matter how much gospel you preach, them not believe. Them make up their mind, them not surrendering to Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Those were the kind of people that John was encountering. The Jews were the hostile religious establishment. The Jews, as used by John, were the enemies of truth. They were the enemies of righteousness. They were the enemies of godliness. They are the enemies of repentance. They are the enemies of John, and they proved also to be the enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Jews that came to John were a coalition of priests and Levites sent by the Pharisees. The Pharisees, as I believe you know, were the gatekeepers of Jewish works religion. What I mean by Jewish works religion? Jewish works religion basically held that you could earn your way by your good works into heaven. So if you're a good, decent human being, you don't commit adultery, you don't murder nobody, you don't thief nobody, nothing, then you will find a place in heaven. That was their works religion. And the Jews and the Pharisees found out about John because John was soaring in the popularity charts. The people were leaving the city of Jerusalem and going into the Judean wilderness to hear John preach. And John wasn't preaching anything that would tickle the ears. John was calling people to repent. And that's the power of the gospel. It has a power all of its own to draw people to come to hear the word of the Lord and for them to repent. That's why we must preach the gospel. Preach it because it is preachable. Preach it whether people want to hear it or not. People left the city to go in the rural areas to hear John tell them that you're a sinner and you need to repent because the Messiah is coming. And so the Pharisees were not happy with John because John was more popular than them and John had more religious clout than them. The Pharisees were not looking for a savior because they thought that they were okay. They must get into heaven because they do enough good works. The Pharisees were looking for a political king to overthrow the Romans. And the Pharisees had at best a modest commitment to repentance. The Pharisees were engaged at best in shallow repentance. My question is, are you like the Jews, the enemies of Jesus? Are you like the Pharisees whose commitment to repentance is at best shallow? Is at best modest? Where are you in your repentance? The Christian life, brethren, is one long, continuous repentance. As God by His Spirit brings to our minds our sinfulness, our acts that are displeasing to the Lord, we should keep short accounts and say, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. We should repent. If we confess our sins, He remains faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Christian life is one long repentance. But perhaps I'm speaking to some persons here in the sanctuary and perhaps online. You're not a Christian. You have never surrendered your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. No works religion is going to get you into God's heaven. Paul said in Romans 3:10, there is none righteous, no, not even one. Paul said in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Paul said in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin remains death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Now is the time to repent. Make straight a highway to your heart and life so that Jesus can come without obstacle to save you from your sins. So that Jesus can come without obstacle to have full reign and authority and jurisdiction in your life. So let me close. Let me speak first to the Christians. for the rest of 2022 and beyond, let your voice be a voice that is heard in this wilderness of sin. For the rest of 2022 and beyond, let your voice be the voice that tells people to prepare ye the way of the Lord. Let your voice carry the message of the living word. Be a voice to call the unsaved to repentance. Let me speak to my non-Christian friends. John in verse 26, John the Baptist said, I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. There stands one among you whom you do not know. But he's knowable. You can get to know him. Get to know him in 2022. Better still, get to know him beginning today. Tomorrow is not promised to you. Jesus will baptize you with his spirit, forgive you of your sins, transform your life from the inside out, and he will give you a brand new life. John answered and says, there stands one among you whom you do not know. Now, if you follow the narrative, after John spoke this word, the very next day, Jesus showed up where John was. Jesus is coming back real soon. You can't have man marry woman and all kind of man win swimming meets and call himself woman and all the wars and rumors of war and pestilence and famine and Jesus far away. Jesus is coming back real, real soon. It could be today. It could be tomorrow. But our job is to prepare ye the way of the Lord. Remove the obstacles and let Jesus have full reign in our lives. So for those who are not Christians, you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, and you're online, I'm inviting you to type something in the chat and one of our leaders will get in touch with you and counsel with you, and we'll be happy to show you how you can come to know Jesus as your Savior and Lord. Let us be like John the Baptist. Let us be the voice in this wilderness of sin, proclaiming to all and sundry, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Amen.